Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and you come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men deal with on a daily basis. Today we've got a topic about sexual purity. Yeah. You guys are already sitting there going, man. And I know you're listening because you have to be intentional on this show. You got to want to either see the podcast or you're actually listening to it live, saying, okay, I want to hear about this thing on sexual purity, what they have coming. And what, anyway, we're going to deal with that. I got a couple guys in the studio here that know a little bit about that.
You got a couple of guys in the studio that know that, other than yourself?
No, a couple guys, us.
Oh, okay.
That's one, two. That's a couple, right? A couple of guys.
I don't know if we're a couple.
Well, no, we're not a couple. We can say
know.
A few guys.
Yeah.
We're less than a few guys.
Yes, we're less than a few guys.
How's that? Yes. My goodness gracious. You doing all right?
Yes, I'm doing excellent.
All right, good. Yes. I'm glad to hear that. So, how about a little encouragement for the guys? Because you walked in with a pretty good smile and feeling pretty good and everything. Why is that?
You know, because I know I'm forgiven.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Being grateful and being thankful are the most important things in my life. Because I know that, you know, although things looked bad yesterday, I know today God has a new day and he can do new things. And I can learn from what I did yesterday and I can have a better day today than I had yesterday. And so I say, you know what? I like that because I have the ability to determine my day. Holy Spirit has given me the power to do that because I control how I see the day and how I use the day. So, yeah, I get excited.
So let me ask you, that came through a lot of practice of realizing that, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of experience. It didn't happen the very first time.
I'm not a kid.
You know, it's all of a sudden just boom, oh, I've got a new day.
Well, you got to get tired of being discouraged first.
You got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Right. Until you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can sputter around, you can play the victim, you can be discouraged, you can have a lousy day, or you can decide, I'm going to have a good day, and I'm not going to let anything or anybody stop me from having that kind of day. And you manage your emotions. You manage how people interact with you. You be the man of God you're supposed to be. And God will empower us to do that because he wants to be able to use our vessel and for honor. But if we're feeling like a victim, if we're feeling beaten down, if we're feeling discouraged, we can hardly be a blessing to somebody else.
You know, and so often I remember being one that said, yeah, but you know what? That stuff where self medicate, self take care of, self control, all that. It's all about self. But wait a minute here. I remember being told, no, wait, you're wrong. The Bible does talk about self-control.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The very last one it says there.
That's right.
So we are to have self-control.
That's right.
So we are able. God empowers us, but it's his power, not ours.
Right.
And anyways.
But like you said, it takes training. You have to train yourself. You have to create the habits in your life that allow you to do that kind of thing.
Right. And sometimes breaking it down into parts of the day instead of just saying the whole day.
Oh, yeah.
Say, can I just actually have, I'll be in an attitude of gratitude between now and noon.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, and then I'll just attempt to change my attitude, knowing that one of the best ways of doing that is that God being in your presence, right?
Yeah.
Being able to say, hey, you know what, Lord, I know that you're here with me. You get into his word just for a little bit. And just remember of all the things that he's actually given you, that he's given you that you can be thankful for.
Amen. So, yeah. Amen.
All right. Well, there you go, gentlemen. There's a little encouragement. Persevere. Keep moving forward in this and seeking God and giving him thanks. The more you bless him, the more he will bless you.
Amen.
So There you go. All right, brother. Let's head down this path of on sexual purity. A lot of times, you know, in today's world, you know, we see things, whether it be in the movies or on TV or in advertising or on the news or wherever it is, we see so much where sexual purity is being is like it's an okay thing to be unpure.
Right.
Okay, of actually just tempting and luring us into thinking that hey, everyone else is doing it, it's okay. It's okay for you to be able, you know, you're watching a show that you like, and then all of a sudden there's a segment in it that comes up where this guy is with this other gal that you thought, oh, man, these were good, two decent people. Then all of a sudden they write in something on the script that has them now just had sex, and it's a good thing. Then they go about their normal lives and everything, and they don't give the reality of what really takes place as a result of that sort of thing in the relationship. And then we think that because everyone else is doing it, it must be okay. And it's more comfortable for us, and probably because we so desire that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, sexuality, you know, God made us sexual. You know, He did it on purpose. He wanted us to procreate, and He made it fun.
Yes.
So now we've said, well, hey, since God made it fun, I might as well have fun whenever I want to. And see, that's where we blow it, because it's not whenever I want to that matters, because then it's, again, me dictating what I do with the wonderful things that God gives me and not being accountable to God with the gifts that He has given me. And sexuality is a gift.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have it if God didn't give it to it as a gift.
Are these things similar, like these lures or these temptations, are they similar to the in the Garden of Eden, the tree in the middle that they said that God told Adam and Eve stay clear of?
Well, that started it.
You know,
that was the original situation where they were tempted to do something that God said don't do. And so it's always really that issue.
Yes.
God says don't. And we say, the devil says, oh, come on, God's holding back. It's really good. Go ahead and do it. And because it is good, we do it. And so the something that feels good doesn't mean it is good.
Yes.
And we go by our feelings. If it feels good, then it's okay. I think we had a saying like that in the 70s or 80s. If it feels good, it's all right.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it. Do what you feel.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what we do. We do what we feel. And that's why we have AIDS. That's why we have all these babies that don't have mommies and daddies. That's why we have the madness and the sexual perversion that we have, because, hey, it feels good. Let's do it.
But see, we have that tendency of thinking and trying to justify our behavior or our decisions that we make that, that's the way the world is, but I'm different. My little thing isn't going to change the world or anything. So I can have a little of this vicarious pleasure, in a sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we think that we're different from everybody else, and it's not really, doesn't really apply to
We think we're not making it any worse by doing that.
Exactly.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Sure. One drop in the ocean doesn't make it.
Doesn't rise and flood.
Yeah. So, hey, why me, you know? And so, but again, it's a thing where the traditionally, you know, man has the ability to do things without asking God. And he does not have to get God's approval or God's permission to do. You know, in the Bible, you look, they built the Tower of Babel in Genesis, all the way to the heavens. They didn't ask God to do it, but it's the creative power that God gives human beings,
mm-hmm.
that we can do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
And God then judges us based on that. And we don't. But see, we want to get rid of the judgment part, so we want to be able to do what we want to do and not be judged for it. But God says, you know, hey, I happen to be the righteous judge of the universe, therefore, have your way. You have free will, but the end, I'm going to judge what you did, and you will find out whether or not it was pleasing to me or not. So that's why we live our lives, those of us who are wise, live our lives to God, because we know that it's Him who has the last say on things.
So this may be another topic for another time, but sometimes it comes up in the sense of, you know, we have brothers in Christ who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and yet they fall into certain traps and behaviors into sin and continue on in that sin. Are they going to be judged for that sin? I mean,
any sin that's not under the blood of Jesus, you have to answer for. You have to pay for.
Yes.
Because He paid for our sins. And if the righteous judge of the universe has given you the ability to have your sin paid for, and you don't use that, that's blasphemy, because you have said, I don't need the blood of Jesus to cover a sin. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, and but a lot of it is because of the thinking that because they've already accepted Jesus and that they're going to heaven, and you know these sins aren't going to keep them out of heaven.
Oh, well, there's certain sins that will. It says so. Paul talked about it in four different places. He says there's certain sins that when you do these, and we need to do a show on this, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You cannot. Yeah. So there's certain sins you cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
So, yeah.
So when these guys are trying to justify the fact that, hey, you know, I will ask for forgiveness later and repent of it.
Yeah, because God's a fool.
You know, that's a lot of truth right there in that statement we just said, because that's exactly what we're saying, that he would, that we can outsmart or we can out whatever God.
We know how to play the game, and we'll get that last move in just before we go to die, and we can get into heaven because God's a good God.
And we'll stay with that conviction of thinking that we can make it right, and we can convince God otherwise, and he'll overlook or don't even look my way because I've done so many other good things. I give so much money to the church, to the missionaries, and everything. You should see how much I do. Do you know who I am? You know, and yet what ends up taking place, and it's so sad, and that's why we laugh. We sit there and we just go, we know, because we've been there in a
seen
sense.
Those guys,
you know. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, really? You know, none of us have any guarantee that we're going to be here tomorrow. We actually don't, and yet we think we do. We think, okay, you know, I am this age, I'm, you know, I have long
longevity.
Long life, longevity. Thank you. That was pretty good, man. How'd you pop in there like that?
I was in your head.
And, yes, that's scary.
It's scary in
that's
there.
Very scary. Yeah. Yeah, it's scary to have you in there. Well, where was I going with this? You're in there.
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, she's talking about longevity. People think they're going to live forever, and so therefore they can do what they want, and at the last day they can get away.
In my deathbed, I'm just going to sit there, look, Lord, forgive me for everything I've done, and go from there. And you may not have that opportunity. No. You might be riding that motorcycle down the road, brother, and all of a sudden you flip over on that thing, and a car takes your head off, and it's rolling down the hill. You know? So, I know, that's...
Wow.
But seriously.
Pretty gruesome.
Well, that's... I'm a support officer at times, so I've seen that before.
But that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. But we think it's not going to happen.
Yeah, because in the movies, you see the person laying there, and they get their last...
And even the one that looks like he got take 10 shots, and he's dead, and he's the other guy who was just shot him is over here with the girl who's hugging, and then all of a sudden the guy stands up and whacks him or something, you know. It's like, come on, But that's not the reality.
No.
The reality is that this life, we are but a vapor, the Bible talks about. We are
here
for one moment, and the next moment we're gone. So how are we going to live this life? And part of this is making decisions. And part of what we're talking about there is making decisions on being sexually pure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now you have a guy who's dating someone. And so often, you know, I know you know this already, the teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Not only the youthful, I mean the 30s and 20s. Gosh, it doesn't matter what age.
15.
Okay? Yeah. You know, that they're actually sitting there and, or sitting there, they're involved in a relationship with a gender of the opposite sex and of actually partaking in sexual
activities.
Activities, thank you.
But the great thing about it is, you know, Bill Clinton paved the way for it.
Yeah.
Because,
we
see, oral
him
sex,
he was
oral sex is not sex.
Yeah.
Although it says it's oral sex, it's not sex. And the kids are starting out with that, and they're starting out doing that, and they're saying, hey, I'm not doing sex.
Yeah.
You know, this is not sex.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, we can thank our president for that.
Well, I think they were probably doing that long before.
Well, he publicized it. He just made it available to everybody on a national scale.
Yeah. But we're not here to throw rocks at...
Bill Clinton? No. I love him. He's so cool. Playing the saxophone. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
So,
why
is it not okay
to have sex
before marriage? I mean, after all, I've heard so often that, you know, I can just try this out. I need to find out if this is going to be the woman of my
dreams. That's right. I want to try on the shoes before I wear them.
That's it. You know, I got to be able to turn on the TV, listen to the stereo before I purchase
it. That's right.
You know,
I agree.
They have all this try it stuff before you buy it. And, but it doesn't apply here, apparently.
Well, sex is pretty different than watching TV. They try to make it the same, you know, with pornography,
yes,
but it's not. Yes. You know, there is a transference.
Yeah, well, the one difference there is that you end up making love to yourself. Usually the other person's not involved in that.
Yeah, yeah, self-gratification.
Anyway, but...
So, well, the thing is, you know, when two people, God made sex to be very special because it does. That act... That act and that act alone creates human beings, the natural way that God likes to create human beings. And so the whole thing, you know, God could have made it like he made Eve. You know, he could have every man lay down and he could pull a woman out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, God can do that. But he decided that, hey, I'm going to have Adam and Eve get together, do the wild thing and make babies. Okay.
Yes.
And so this is his idea. This is not our idea. It's his idea.
Yep.
And so but the idea is a good one, meaning it's good because it produces what God wants it to produce the way. And plus it creates intimacy between the two people that are doing it. It's not an abstract thing. It's not like you sticking your finger in your wife's ear. I mean, there's so much more involved than emotionally and spiritually that go into this thing that we don't even realize and we take for granted. The Bible talks about two becoming one flesh. The Bible talks about the transference of spiritual things between the persons that are having sexual encounters. So, I mean, it's more than just recreation, which we have made it. We have made sex recreation. And so that's not what God, that's totally out of the sphere of what God had planned for it.
You know, and it's funny because we end up, as adults, we end up looking at our children or grandchildren in a sense and seeing what they're exposed to and whether our children are married or not and the temptations that they have to overcome. They're really not any different than the temptations we had. Okay.
Same.
And we probably heard the same thing from our parents or from elders at one time, and as we responded. So we usually get those that say, well, listen, hey, but you did it, you know? And I'm just curious how we were supposed to answer that sort of thing.
Well, but we did.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Hold it captive, because when we come... You don't have to freeze, brother. You can you can just hold the thought.
Okay.
You don't have to freeze physically. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and find out what Felix... what his answer really is about this. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hempler's.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Felix and Raul in the studio talking about sexual purity. And so I asked Felix, or I made a statement that our kids today, and in a sense, there's a lot of different reasons that they give why they're doing what they're doing. But one of the things that comes up, especially when you're transparent with your kids and they know a little bit about your past, they say, well, Dad, you did it. You did it. So why is it not okay for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look at you today. You're a pastor. You help people. So maybe that's what I get to look forward to.
Yeah. And if you're wise, you've learned what the negative things are I think my wife and I both had multiple sex partners before yes. we were married. And we talk about that, how those other people that we had sex with are still associated with us in the spirit. And we have to divest ourselves from them on a regular basis because the memories are there. There's a song that can come up that'll take me back 20 yep. years to a sexual encounter that I had that was unholy and not good. And so the devil will use these things against you. And these are things that need to be put under the blood because otherwise they will haunt you. Spiritually, when you have sex with somebody, there's a spiritual transference that goes through that. And we don't realize the power in that. And that's why God says sexual purity is a good thing, because you don't know yes. the people that you want. You don't want to take these people through life with you. And you can probably testify to that, too.
Yeah. You know, part of that is that bond that God had promised, that when the two of you come together, you become one flesh. You know, that's why they consummate the wedding or the marriage itself on the night of the wedding. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just, they say it's a tradition. It has been for a long. But anyway, my point is that when you have sex with somebody else, there is a spiritual bond that takes place. That's why it's so challenging when you break up and you live apart, or you're having sex and you're having a good time, but then all of a sudden he does something or she does something or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you start to separate. That's why there's so much pain. That's why it hurts. That's why you sit there and you go, I can't believe that he would do something like this to me. Because he wasn't supposed to.
Right.
But you weren't supposed to be doing what you're doing with him. That was something that God had given as a gift in the covenant of marriage that he had intended it for.
That's right. And that's why it's so powerful and so important. And that's why sexual sin is just so significant to God, because it's a sin against your own body. You know, and you're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, God holds us very much accountable. Because he says in those laundry list of sins that you cannot inherit the kingdom of God, most of them have fornication,
yes.
which is sex outside of marriage. If you're wondering what that big word fornication is when you read it in your Bible, fornication is sex outside of marriage. Mm-hmm. That means you're not married to the person that you're having sex with.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, I just want to hit on this too, because, you know, we love each other, you know, and we love each other, and we've got before God, and we said, God, we love each other. Therefore, it's okay. And we felt God would said, okay, we can have sex. And I there was a couple that I had in our church that were living as husband and wife, but
yeah.
they had never been officially married.
Yeah.
And she took his last name. And so one day we found out about that and I said, well, what happened? They said, well, we went on the beach. We held hands. We looked up in the sky at the moon. And we said, God, you're a wonderful God. I love this woman. And she loves me. And we're married. Boom. And they go and they considered themselves married. And I asked God, I said, you know, what's wrong with that, God? And God said, here's the problem with that. He says, they don't have the authority to marry people. And because they don't have the authority to marry people, they can't marry themselves. And there weren't even any witnesses. And so God has a plan, and, you know, he ordains marriage, and he ordains the people who are to do marriage.
Yes.
And so we take it on ourselves, and we're in rebellion when we have sex outside of his way of doing things.
Yeah.
And we've got to understand that, and God will never bless rebellion. Never.
Yes. Well, Paul talks about that it's good for a man to be single, but if the temptations and the lust of the eyes and if he can't keep his spirit down, in a sense that he ought to marry, right?
Well, not spirit is.
Not yeah. spirit. No,
no. Keep his spirit down? Yeah, it's testosterone, whatever it is. No, yeah. If he's not gifted, it's a gift. Celibacy is a gift. And if you can live celibate, then you are to live celibate, because you don't need to be married. And that's okay, because you don't have that sex drive to do that. Okay. And you should. I want to throw this in. That's even, if you have, something else that, you know, maybe same sex attraction.
Yes.
And you have decided, I would rather be a eunuch before I allow myself to be involved in that sickness. And you have to get the grace, and God will give you the grace so that you can live a celibate life, because you need the grace to do it.
Yes. And it's something that you mentioned, that because that's something that in my last divorce, when I was finished, I just said, Lord, I cannot do relationships. I had a challenge with pornography and everything. It was just a challenge. It was I was addicted. I was on it all the time. And so my life, even as a believer in the things that were taking place, it was like, you know, I knew that something had to change. I either had to cut my head off. Something had to happen, because I could not do that. So and he knew my heart. And I just said, Lord, make me celibate.
Yeah.
Make me celibate. And, you know, and boy, he did.
Yeah.
And so he kept his part of the bargain, in a sense, or the promise, you know, because I asked for it, he gave it.
Right.
And no, now I needed to do what I said I was going to do as a result of that, because I told him, I said, I would draw closer to you. I would come to know who you are. I will get myself out of debt. I will work hard and focus on my work. And I did that for, 13 months. And it took care of business.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have that distraction. There was not any, I didn't look forward. I didn't have TV. I did have internet, but he blessed me even at that point when I asked him. I said, Father, I need this for my work.
Right.
And he blessed me of being able to get it wiped off my computer. I didn't do it. I had someone else do it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All stuff that was there, and made it just simple, and never came back again.
Amen.
And, you know, so that is something, and I believe when he knows our heart, when we're truly willing to say, okay, Lord, it's you.
Yeah.
It's all about you.
And that's the key. We have a lot of guys sometimes tell us, you know, I'm struggling with pornography and I've tried to stop and I just can't. You know, I just can't. I got to give up because I can't. You know, when God knows when we're sick and tired and we want change.
Yes.
And he will give us the grace and the power to do that.
Yes.
And so when somebody tells me they can, I said, you're not at that point yet. You obviously still go back to your vomit and you still think it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but when you are doggone determined and you no longer are willing to do it, God will take care of it for you.
Every time.
Yes.
Every time. You know what? We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from the break, we'll go ahead and we're going to continue on this realm. But somewhere along the line, well, I want to be able to give. I found something here that gave us, five ways to smack sexual tension in the face. Okay? That's how it's, I like it, man. Five ways to smack sexual tension in the face.
Okay.
That's, in other words, like getting a wake-up call. You've seen the movies where
sure.
all of a sudden, hey, man, come on, man, you're talking out of your head, and the guy slaps him beside the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just say, hey, let's get your head about you here now. So we're going to do that here with you guys here. When we get back, we'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Tell me where it's hurting. Are you hurting? Running just to catch your breath. And going nowhere. It's getting old when you feel like you got nothing left. But it ain't over till it's over. I told you since the day we met. So let me be the voice through all the noise. Whatever I gotta be, I'll be for you.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Felix and Raul, and talk about sexual purity.
It's a good topic, Raul.
You know, we hear so often today, we try to justify our means or the things that we are doing when it comes to sin to try to feel better about what it is that we're doing so that we would convince ourselves that God is looking upon this favorably. We even change God's look and his demeanor of being just a loving, kind God. He really loves me, and he just wants me. He knows that I'm happy right now, and this is the right person for me. And we're just together because, you know, really she can't afford a place of her own, but together, that's the way we're going to do it, you know. We're going to get married, you know, here in next year or in months to come or whatever it might be, but it's all good. You know, we are just living together, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And but there's one thing that I do know is that sex is not a sin. Okay,
nope.
You've already clarified that. Immorality is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're having sex outside of the covenant of marriage, that is immoral.
That's correct.
Okay. So no matter what it is, you can call it, like we used earlier, tried to change the wording on that of oral sex? Just to try to get sex out of it, so that
they don't even bother to do that.
Well, in the book of Ephesians, okay, Paul talks about here in chapter 5. He says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So he's reminding us of why it is that we're seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're a follower of Christ because you're listening to the show and you're seeking God. Go to verse 3. "But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any other kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." So right there it becomes the sin itself. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you could sit there and say, okay, I'm living, we're living together and... you know, but, you know, most people don't know that we're there. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. First of all, we can't hide from God. And let me just give you a little example. For those of you, let's just say you knew what kind of vehicle I drove. And you saw my vehicle parked in the driveway of this home that you know is a friend of your wife's who's a single mom. Okay. And you see my vehicle there, and you drive by and go, huh, I guess Raul must be there, you know, ministering or helping out, or maybe him and his wife are there helping her or whatever. And you go home not thinking twice about it, but the next morning when you get up to go to work at, you know, 4:30 or 5 in the morning, you drive by and you see that there's still, my vehicle's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Now what are you thinking? Now you're thinking, ooh, that isn't right. Man, I wonder if Raul's wife knows this, you know? You don't know the whole story,
right.
But you're already thinking that there's something that is not right about this situation. So there's the hint of immorality, okay? And all of a sudden you're thinking that, wow, Raul's taking advantage of this or for whatever reason, okay? When actually what took place is that she borrowed my vehicle, the mother that lives there, because they needed to use the truck for whatever reason, da-da-da-da, and I wasn't there at all. But the fact is that that's how people look at our lives. When you walk together as a couple and pretend that you are a husband and wife, you're playing house. And you're trying to have all the feelings and all the, you know, that you would make believing that you're married and this is what it's going to be like. But at any given time, at any given moment, you've given yourself an out
mm-hmm.
to be able to say, if you do this wrong to the other person, in your own mind, if you do this inappropriately, if you don't do what I ask,
right.
I'm out of here. I'll go find somebody else. And you know what? That is immoral.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true. You know, what the thing that we don't understand, this salvation thing, you know, Jesus said, everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is not going to spend eternity with me. He says, only the ones that do the will of my Father.
Wow.
Now, see, we're willful people, and we want to do what we want to do. And when I do stuff outside of God's will, I'm doing it under my will.
Yes.
And then I am my God, because I've determined that my satisfaction with living with this girl, my satisfaction with having sex with this girl is more important mm-hmm. and more significant than what God says. Because mm-hmm. God says, don't do it.
Yes.
And I say, do it. So who is now God of my life? It's me, because I have determined that my need is more important than God's will. Yeah. Brother, you're on thin ice on that. There's no way God's going to wink at that. There's no way God is going to bless that.
Yes. When we come back, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I've got a couple of scripture, and we're going to go very quickly through these five things about smacking you in the face on how to be able to be lured away from the temptation. How's that? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Tomorrow all the things were gone. I worked for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. We are on the tail end of the talk about sexual purity and the challenges with that. Brother, we know first and foremost that it is not an easy thing. Avoiding temptation, avoiding what God has intended us to be doing, and not being taking the lure, okay, and falling for the traps that the enemy has set up is difficult. It's challenging. That's why we can't do this thing alone. Brother, that's probably why so many of us sometimes, at times in our lives, we don't have accountability. We don't want somebody checking in on us. We won't want to tell somebody, hey, let me tell you how my day is gone. We don't want them to know, because if they did, they would know the truth. And we would not feel very good about what it is that we're sharing with them. You know, one of the challenges is that is remembering what God has always said. Jesus said in Matthew 28, okay, you guys have heard this before. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. Let me say that again. Obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, that thing about obedience, that is not, as you said, Felix, before, it's not optional. That's something that is, hey, we need to obey. We need to learn to obey. We need to let others learn about obedience. And how do they learn? How do our children learn, those that we influence? They watch us.
Mm-hmm.
They watch us and they listen to us, okay? So, brother, we need to walk in the Spirit with our Lord. We need to be able to, more often that we're in His presence, the better off that we are.
That's
okay?
Right.
So we know that, you know, we're not here to slam you about feeling guilty about anything, but brother, there is, God has a better plan. Let Him reveal what that is to you. It may be different than the way it's going down your road right now, but anyway, I want to just get to these before we get run out of time. Five ways to smack sexual tension in the face, okay? Number one, and I don't know if these are in any specific order, but I'd like to think that they're all in the same order. Number one would be pray together. So you and your girlfriend, you and your fiancé are together. I'm going to tell you one of the things that, and this is not a boasting for Raul, it's for Jesus Christ. Debbie and I, when we were dating, we prayed all the time. I prayed going on my way over to pick her up. We prayed together before we got going. We prayed at the, you know, in between there somewhere in the evening and at the end of the evening.
Yeah.
But I've got to tell you, we prayed other times too. Say, okay, we knew that there was a lure, a temptation, but praying, prayer works.
Amen.
You don't have anything to say about this?
You're running through them. Run through them.
Number two, don't kiss on the couch. Man, don't get horizontal, brother.
Ooh, on the couch.
Yes, that is not a good place. Or the bed.
Ooh.
That's why I said horizontal, anywhere.
Ooh.
Don't kiss there. Don't kiss.
Not even at a picnic, laying on the grass.
No, brother,
no,
don't.
On the beach.
No, don't. Okay, number three, be open with your parents. Now, this is for the younger ones. Now, for those of you who are older dating, mm-hmm. your accountability partner, we'll call it. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be open with your parents. You know, you're sitting there as a young one, you're sitting there going, oh, there ain't no way I'm going to tell my mom and dad what's going on, what I was thinking or whatever.
Right.
But you know what?
Right.
Be open with them. You might be surprised that you're not alone in this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think your parents would be honest with you. Be sexually pure when you're not alone, too. When you are alone, too.
Right.
Okay?
That's right. What you're watching. What you're playing with.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. When you're all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to turn away from something on TV or a commercial or what else when there are others around that you're wanting to impress.
Right.
But when there's nobody else around,
yeah.
do you look?
Yeah.
Do you get that second look when you're driving down the road? Do you look at that young girl who's running down the street, you know, and look in the side view mirror, rear view mirror? I mean, do you pull over? I mean, whatever, you know? Okay. Number five is run away. When things get too hot and heavy, call it a day or a night or whatever and put some physical distance between the two of you. 1 Corinthians 6 says, flee from sexual immorality. Say goodnight to see you tomorrow, whatever, and get yourself in a cold shower if necessary.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
But God has given us opportunities. He said, our God is faithful.
Yes.
And every temptation that comes to us, we think is unique to us. It's not. It's all of a sudden that we become that, have that opportunity of being able to allow him to show us, for us to see that way out of the situation.
Yeah.
And it may mean that you just get up and say, I got to go.
That's right.
You have to be you have to man up.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to the men here because that's who we talk to. Mm-hmm. You got to man up. You got to say, this is part of being a warrior.
Yes.
Just say, hey, the purity that God has given me of being sexually pure, because he's going to give me such a gift when I marry.
Right.
I want to protect that.
That's right.
Okay? So you have to do whatever is you're willing or that you feel that God is leading you to. Those are the five. I think those are pretty good. Those are smacks.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
I like those.
You
I
got
like
anyone that. You want to add to that?
No, I like the last one, especially, you know, run. You know, Joseph showed us how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, Potiphar's wife.
Yes.
You know, this dude, he could have had this. She was.
His way, yeah.
And he ran almost out of his clothes to get out of there because he knew he wanted to protect himself. And guys, we got to protect, Paul talks about we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't realize that. And when we defile the body of Christ, when we defile ourselves, we're defiling his body.
Yes.
And it's a defilement to have sex outside of marriage.
Yes.
That's God's rules, guys. It's not mine. Yes. If it was up to me, you could have all the sex you want. But see, God's going to judge you, not Felix.
Yeah.
So you got to answer to him for his rules. And believe me, he knows best. He knows it's the best way to do it. It is not the best thing to have sex with more than one woman. You know, that God knows this. And so, you know, hey, listen to God. He knows what he's talking about.
You know, one of the things that so often that has come up in this sort of thing, even like in the story that you said of David and Potiphar's wife,
Joseph,
and Potiphar's wife, at the time, think about it. If this happened to you and you're running, okay, and you know the cops are coming after you or the parents, whatever it is, okay, but you're Joseph and you're caught. Guess what they did? They threw him in jail. He wasn't just in jail overnight.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But God had still better things yet in store for him. Okay? He knew he was right. He knew he had run. He knew he was in there because of a lie. But you know what? He persevered.
Yeah.
And had trusted in God. Okay?
Yeah.
But the key is the consequences that we end up having to deal with when we don't obey.
Mm-hmm.
What are the consequences? You know, most guys think about what think it through, what they're about to do, what could happen as a result of that, you would realize that there's opportunity of even having a child out of wedlock, of being able to break hearts, and for your children to be risen up without you being their dad.
Yeah. Plus, you fall into the devil's trap, and he's real, and he's trying to ruin your life, and he will use sex to do it because he knows you're weak. Men, we are weak in that area. We need God's strength in order to do it. That's why we need accountability, and we need internal strength from the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And submitting to God, his strength will come through our weaknesses and be perfected.
Amen.
How about you pray for our brothers?
All right. Well, Father God, we know that your design for sexual purity is legit. We know, God, that you know what you're talking about. We know you know what's best. And Lord, help us to see the consequences of our actions so that we will not go down the road so many people have gone down. And we, not because the culture is against it, because the culture entices us to do it. But your word of God must stand true. We trust you, God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.